Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off the ball, GAA.
Credit to Shane, because I suppose all the talk has been about, oh, when's Shane Ryan back? And when he's back, he'll have to come straight back in. And that can't be easy to be listened to either. So, no, massive credit to Shane. He's been brilliant this year and really cemented
join
his place.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The News Round on Off The Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off The Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. And before tonight, England had conceded the first goal in 23 games in World Cup history. And only once in those 23 games had England actually gone on to win that match. That was against West Germany in the 1966 World Cup final. So in many ways, England have indeed reclaimed the spirit and channeled the spirit of 1966 tonight in Atlanta. They've come from 1-0 down to beat DR Congo 2-1. And fresh from watching that game, which has just gone full time, in studio we have Eve Conway and Dion Fanning. This could have been the Jordan Pickford show. This could have been the show where we reflected on the brilliance of Brian Kipambe Sepenga and his strike that beat Jordan Pickford at the near post. But actually, the story here is Harry bloody Kane. That is a big time performance, in fairness to him, in that second half.
It's a huge performance from Harry Kane. And I think, on balance, I think, you know, I don't think we're ready for England to be knocked out just yet. This would have been, although this would have been a generational defeat, it would have been up there with USA 1950, that level of shock, I think. But no, Harry Kane was exceptional in the second half. England were very, very sloppy in the first half, and I think there's still going to be a lot of questions asked about Tuchel and the way England are playing, and you know, a lot of the squad selections that have been dissected before now. And I think that those questions remain. But today, especially the second goal, I just thought the way Kane fought for the space to get that chance, just knowing that if he gets that space, if he sees that opportunity, it's going in. And I think the first goal, you could look at the keeper and say he could have done better.
After an amazing performance.
Yeah, after an incredible performance. Second goal was just exceptional.
Yeah, he is an extraordinary player. It's kind of reaffirmed my dislike of the hydration breaks this game. Like, I hadn't really cared too much one way or the other. I thought it was a little bit unfair that maybe it was allowing coaches to come in and get some tactical instructions into players and the shifts in momentum. I'm really entrenched in my opinion now, because England were going through the process of a bit of a head loss throughout that first half, conceding the goal early. Jude Bellingham was given out to people on the bench. I'm not sure who he was shouting at. He was flying into challenges. And the hydration break after 22 and a half minutes in that first half just allowed England to cool the jets and relax. We were hurtling towards a great collapse from England until they managed to just calm everything down. Reece James got a word in the ear of Jude Bellingham and things kind of went from there for them. Not that they were amazing immediately thereafter.
Do you find, I agree with you, but do you find that you now start thinking that the game is into the second half? Like, you know, once the hydration break has already become, like, it is disrupting the rhythm so much. So there are times now when I'm watching a game going, oh, it's still the first half. The break of itself makes you, you're so conditioned to a break, meaning that it's half time, that when you're watching the game in the 30th minute and you think, oh, it's still the first half. I forgot, you know, because you think the stoppage means the end of the half. So it has had a huge impact even on the kind of rhythm of how we watch the game already. And like, and then definitely the amount of times now you're seeing where it allows people, especially in a situation like this one, where a game is running out of control, where there is and remains psychological questions to be asked about the England team. Thomas Tuchel might be actually lobbying for more regular hydration breaks. He might want one every 10 minutes, because I think as long as he can keep talking to this team, maybe they've got a chance. But when they're left to their own devices, anything is possible. Because even in the second half, they were, DR Congo started very well. And it is a problem for England. But, you know, I agree with you. It's definitely affecting how games are managed.
I mean, it completely changes the dynamic of when a goal is scored. I mean, suddenly you have an extra, is it good to score just before or just after halftime? And now is it good to score just before or immediately after the hydration break? Suddenly you have all these extra dynamics added. It really does change the flow and nature of the game totally.
No, it does. It's done that, and has also just allowed a kind of a further intervention. And I think one of the things you see now, and you know, it's always been stoppages and tactical stoppages for injuries and things like that. But you know, there was a game last night where who was on the counter attack. Games are melting into each other. But there was a game, and then you know, there was a stop for a VAR check, and they couldn't, whoever it was, they couldn't take a quick throw because it was a VAR check. And then, you know, the other team have regrouped, and that advantage is lost. And, like, all these things incrementally, all these stoppages are having making a fundamental change to the actual nature of the game. And I think the hydration break, you know, I think the only thing is it's probably only going to last as long as this World Cup, although you never know. Like, you never really know.
Guy Morbury on commentary after the goal said, what do we think of hydration breaks now? they're out of jail. We're watching kind of Wayne Rooney and Michael Richards and Joe Hart here in the BBC studio trying to pick through it all. In fairness, they all kind of suspended sticking the boot in at halftime. I think it was during the hydration break where they were mostly critical of this England team. But it was actually Alan Shearer, before they kicked off again in the second half, who was probably most critical of this setup, because Anthony Barry was interviewed at halftime and he was talking about the fact that after England went 1-0 down in the first half, the handbrake kind of went off. And Shearer was like, why the hell was the handbrake on in the first place? Mm-hmm. Against DR Congo, against a team you should be expected to beat, why is there a level of caution about this team? And even when they went 2-1 up, you could see Anthony Barry gesticulating, five at the back. That just seems to be the normal setting with this England team.
Yeah, I think there's so many strange things in what's going on. Like this thing Tuchel has been coming out with, that we will play, when we come up against the really good teams, that's when you'll see us at our best. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like, and it doesn't make any sense when you actually play a team like, to, you know, the logic is, or the argument is that, oh, we're playing teams that are in a low block and we can't break them down. But you're going to play those teams. You have to play against them, you know. And first of all, I wouldn't be going around telling people, you know, if you don't actually come out and play, we don't know what to do. But also today, like, Congo weren't in a low. Like, there was plenty of opportunities, and England still couldn't play. So it's one of those statements where, when I was watching the first half, I was thinking, you know, a manager coming out saying, you know, we'll be fine once we play the big teams, and then you're struggling against the small teams. Psychologically, what does that do for your players? What do they start thinking when it's like, oh, well, this is a game that we're not really designed to win. We're designed to win the big matches, but I'm not sure what we're going to do here. And I think, you know, at the moment, England are going to be on a kind of, you know, understandably, Harry Kane kind of triumphalist, you know, party. And that's fair enough because of what he did today. But the problems with the team, that again, and these are problems that you know, have plagued England for generations. But they're not going away, and it's kind of amazing that Tuchel is still that same core issues.
Patrick's been in touch to say all that's missing from the advertising break is the team swapping halves. It makes a mockery of the game. While Gaelic Warrior says they'll be out in the quarterfinals, and it is going to be Mexico they play in the quarterfinals. Just to run you through what we've got coming up on the show tonight, between 9 and 10 is the football show coming your way. Dion's going to be with us all the way through until 10 o'clock tonight. Also that hour, Antonio Rosique, Mexican sports commentator, is going to join us as well. So that all of a sudden becomes a bit of a preview chat about England going to Azteca Stadium to play Mexico in the next round. Of course, incredible scenes in the Mexican capital last night after they beat Ecuador to qualify for the last 16 of the competition. Between 8 and 9 tonight, we're going to be speaking to Declan McBennett, RTE head of sport. He's going to join us in studio for a conversation around GAA Plus, League of Ireland, the Israel fixture, and how RTE are going to broadcast that. And then between 7:30 and 8, Matt Williams will join us for Wednesday night rugby, Ireland playing the Wallabies on Saturday morning in a new look Nations Championship in rugby. We're at the end of it all. There will be a Ryder Cup style North versus South weekend where we will finally determine who's better at rugby, the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere.
Is that what's going to happen?
Yes. I didn't realise it until we were in our pre-show meeting today, and Susanna was like, do you know that there's going to be like a golf-like aspect to all of this? But so we'll be rooting for England and rooting for Scotland and Wales and France.
Then there's a kind of composite team of Northern Hemisphere, like, the Northern Hemisphere, as I have always often say.
It is the better of the two hemispheres, if you were to push me.
Really?
Probably not, actually. We're second in a two-horse race. It depends what time of the year it is. Like, I mean, right now I'll take it, but in the middle of January I'd rather be in the Southern Hemisphere.
You have thought about this?
I think about this all the time. For anybody who's like interested in this, it's the Northern Hemisphere teams are the 6-6 Nations teams. The Southern Hemisphere teams are 5 Southern Hemisphere teams and a Northern Hemisphere team in Japan. So that's how they split up the teams. And at the very end, in November, there's going to be 6 games played in Twickenham over the course of 3 days.
Oh.
6th place versus 6th place, 5th place versus 5th place. And every win that you get scores your team a point.
Okay.
And then we get the 1st place versus 1st place. And the winner of that gets 2 points for your team. 1st of 4 gets crowned as the King Hemisphere in World Rugby.
Is that what it's actually called?
No, I just made that last bit I made up myself. But everything up until that point is factual.
Yeah, but somebody's listening to that going, King Hemisphere. We've missed a trick there. Can we rebrand? Yeah. Can we rebrand quickly?
Eve Conway, take us through today's news. You are starting with matters that have just wrapped up in Atlanta.
I am. So England have defeated the Democratic Republic of the Congo by 2-1 this evening in the World Cup round of 32. Sepenga scored for DR Congo 7 minutes into the match. And then England's captain Harry Kane scored a brace to save their World Cup campaign. Kane now has 13 goals in the World Cup finals, overtaking Pele. And as we've mentioned, England will face Mexico in the round of 16 next week.
Okay, then on to tonight. What's happening?
Yeah, so Belgium and Senegal face each other in Seattle in the later game this evening, and kickoff is at 9 p.m. The winner of that tie will face either Bosnia and Herzegovina or the United States in the next round. The USA and Bosnia match is in San Francisco at 1 a.m. Irish time. Now, the USA haven't won a match against European opposition in 5 years, and head coach Mauricio Pochettino insists they're not favourites tonight.
Yeah, first of all, I don't believe that we are the favourite team. Because we were now, the last few days, how difficult it is for everyone, you know. I think favorite after, is to talk after, no? Everyone say the favorite is Germany, but Paraguay beat and fair, or Morocco against Netherlands. I think too many game, or Brazil, Japan, how difficult it was. I think that what we were talking is in this World Cup, with many things, a factor that can have influence on the performance, we need to be careful when we say, okay, one is favorite, another no. I understand that maybe because we are USA and we host the World Cup and we are here and maybe we have the fans in our side, but I think we have full respect to you guys, and Bosnia Herzegovina is in that stage because you deserve. And I think for us it's full respect. We don't feel that. We feel that we have the confidence to perform well, and of course the belief that we can win.
Sean in Dublin's been in touch to say not a bad day for Harry Kane, lads. 2 goals and an Olympic gold medal for diving.
Oh. That was absolutely a penalty, but I'm not going to...
Do you think it was?
Yeah.
Kind of leaned into the challenge.
Harry Kane's a bit of a leany player, you know?
Yeah.
He's always on the edge.
He's got good control of where he leans. All in the Game says Mexico will fancy their chances at altitude against that England team. I think so. I think in hindsight, if you wanted to see England get knocked out tonight, I think seeing them go to Mexico is going to be a really, really interesting one in the next round. Just a word on that USA-Bosnia match, Dion. Are we getting similar levels of potential schadenfreude about the United States? A bit of hubris off them over the last couple of weeks? Maybe their fans and what they actually expect to get out of a tournament like this?
Well, it's a very strange dynamic, especially the dynamic between Pochettino and the US media. He seems to be constantly... They seem to be at each other, and I think this predates the tournament. And you know, when there were suggestions that he might be leaving, that was taken very badly by the American football press. And you know, he's got irritable with them about questions about resting players, like all sorts of things that seem to have not rattled him, but just sort of riled him a bit. And I think, yeah, there's, of course, there's going to be, like, America and, you know, America and being arrogant and being cocky is they go hand in hand in a sporting context and in other contexts sometimes too. But I think it's also a natural thing that happens when you're in a tournament. They've had a very good start. They've looked very good in the tournament. They've played well. And I think it's an understandable position to be in. Like, you know, you look at how they played against Paraguay and how Paraguay did against Germany. Paraguay went into this competition with people saying, oh, this could be a tough game for the US because of how they did in the qualifiers. They beat Brazil, they beat Argentina, and USA blew them away. And you see them in against Germany, you see, okay, that's... They are able to block the whole teams back, and there is something about them. So America can feel justifiably hopeful about how they've played. So I think there's probably a little bit of getting carried away. But if you were drawn against Bosnia, I think you'd probably feel you had a chance. We'd probably be feeling we had a chance.
Eve, your next story follows the second biggest crossover in Galway GAA this year after Fitzy and Love Island. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so Galway United have signed Conor Gleeson as a short-term goalkeeping cover. The Galway inter-county player has been drafted in following their exit from the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. He last played for Galway United in 2018, and Gleeson comes in after a loan signing Evan Watts was recalled by parent club Swansea City.
We have movement in the Premier League managerial stakes then.
We do. So former Crystal Palace manager Oliver Glasner is reportedly in talks to take over from Vitor Pereira at Nottingham Forest. Pereira confirmed his time at Nottingham Forest as the manager has ended, saying it came as a complete surprise to him. Glasner left Palace at the end of last season after delivering the FA Cup and Conference League trophies during his 2 years at Selhurst Park. His contract at Palace officially expired overnight, and Glasner is now a free agent.
This would be a bit of a blow for Palace in the medium term, you'd have to say, seeing Glasner of his own accord leave the football club and then take another team who've been flirting around European competitions in the last couple of seasons as well. Like, these are absolute competitors in that block of teams in the middle of the Premier League. And you'd suspect this would be a great appointment for Forest if they got it done.
Yeah, except Forest, you know, it's so unpredictable there. Like, you can't say that anything is going to make a huge amount of difference over a long period of time.
Because of the owner?
Yeah, because of the way the club is run. And, you know, even the reports about Pereira, they had a couple of hours left, like, on his contract before they could dismiss him today or yesterday. And he just got the email landed just a couple of hours ahead of schedule telling him, you know, we're not renewing your contract. Like, that's how he was informed of it. So it's... you know, it's a club that's run that way. It runs through managers. Glasner obviously did a very good job at Palace, but he also demonstrated his own combustible ways. So I think this could be a very... I wonder how long this will actually last, this partnership.
Yeah, you'd wonder what sort of personality Marinakis actually needs, and then what sort of personality Glasner actually needs to be managed by. Maybe they're just going to butt heads all the time on this one.
Yeah, or butt heads for a very brief period.
And then it's all over. Yeah. This is a really cool story, Eve, when it comes to the Open this year and the qualifiers.
Yes. So Irish amateur golfer David Howard, who was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when he was 7, has qualified for this month's Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. Howard, now 27 years old, finished on 4-under during qualification, which was enough to secure him a place. He was on Off the Ball's Golf Weekly today talking about his diagnosis and his road to success.
Last kind of 6 years with the advancements of medication, it's after improving massively, life-changing, you could say. So diagnosed late at the age of 7, and yeah, I suppose from there until 2019, it's kind of a rough road, kind of in hospital a lot, getting IV antibiotics, antibiotics very occasionally. And since the new modulators in 2019, I'm going to say, yeah, it's been a huge change. Still a lot of medication, still a lot of things to kind of keep healthy, but it's been huge, I suppose. Back in teenage years, Googling CF and saying kind of mid-20s is life expectancy. So to be here in my mid-20s, doing what I'm doing, and yeah, it's mad to think about, but yeah, feel pretty lucky.
Okay, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one when the Open gets up and running. On to the rugby then, we have the Champions Cup pool stages announced.
We do, and the draw for the pool stage of next season's Champions Cup was made in Dublin this afternoon. So Munster have been drawn in the same pool as holders Bordeaux, as well as the Stormers, Racing, Bristol and Gloucester. Leinster are in pool one with Glasgow, Pau, Sale, Leicester and Clermont. Connacht are in pool two with Toulouse, the Lions, Saracens, La Rochelle and Exeter. And then in the Challenge Cup, Ulster are in pool one alongside the Cheetahs, Perpignan, Zebre, Dragons and Bayonne.
Okay, give us the latest from Wimbledon.
Yeah, so busy day. Women's number one, Aryna Sabalenka, and men's number one, Jannik Sinner, are both through to the third round of Wimbledon in straight sets, while Serena Williams' doubles return is in doubt. She was due to play alongside her sister Venus tomorrow, but suffered a minor knee injury during her loss to Maya Joint yesterday. And then seven-time men's singles champion Novak Djokovic is due on centre court this evening to face Stefanos Tsitsipas for a place in the third round.
And then you have some tennis news for us closer to home as well.
I do. So professional women's tennis will return to Ireland for the first time in 40 years. The women's competition at the 2026 DLR Irish Open at Carrick Mines, Croquet and Lawn Tennis Club has been upgraded to a WTA W50 status. So the tournament will take place from July 26th to August 2nd. And former Irish number one, Conor Nyland, spoke to the Word on the Street team last month at Dublin's ATP Challenger 75 about his hopes for the future of women's tennis in Ireland.
I mean, I'd love to see a WTA event here, maybe a 125 in the same sort of slot in the calendar. I think you'd be surprised, and again, I think people may be surprised, Dimitrov and Kokkinakis are here this week. You flip that to the women's side, it's not beyond the realms to have, you know, maybe not Serena, but you've somebody who's a former champion coming back like Dimitrov from injury, and you could get a Grand Slam winner here at a 125. So it's not that far away. And again, in terms of the finances, it's a similar to, I would say, to a setup for a 75. There might be a little bit more that goes into a 125, but I think that would be a real step up. I think, like you said, the media would get a bit more behind it. There's more visibility for our sport. There's opportunities for the players. There's prize money opportunities for the players when these things happen. So I would love to see a minimum, say, three futures in Ireland, a couple of challengers, and then a tour event, whether that's a men's or a ladies. If we could have both, that'd be great. But I think we need to start probably where we are, which is maybe bringing this to a 125. A WTA event next year would be incredible.
Okay, Conor Nyland speaking there. Just one other story to bring you this evening. It does seem that the All-Ireland football semi-finals have officially sold out. I don't quite remember off the top of my head. Maybe you out there will be able to remind me. 0879180180 is our number. The last time this has actually happened in Gaelic games, full stop. I don't remember both semi-finals selling out in the hurling in the same year. I don't remember both semi-finals selling out in the football in the same year. You've got Mayo against Louth. You've got Dublin against Kerry on Saturday and Sunday week, respectively. You go on to Ticketmaster right now, as I've just done. Sorry, we couldn't find any results, is the feedback from both days. So this is extraordinary. Dean, I'm sure you've been paying at least a passing interest in this all summer long, but this unbelievable summer of Gaelic football has resulted in this, which is, I guess, a dream draw in terms of the four teams that were left, but also just this amazing interest in what's actually going to happen outcome-wise in these two semi-finals.
Well, the games have been great. I watched the games I'm able to watch on RTE, the Dublin-Galway game last week, And it's a very, you know, the schedule, the weekend schedules are very handy with the World Cup now, so you can I can give a little bit of time to Gaelic football before the World Cup begins. But no, they have been exceptional, and it's funny, like, just reading and listening to people who know a lot more about it and how the rule changes have just seemed to have transformed it. How long that lasts will be interesting, because I presume there are people always looking at ways of actually negating, from a coaching and tactical point of view, whatever people are doing. But at the moment, like that, I think one of the things that is so good from, like, the games are, like, a score line or a distance in a score previously, which would have made a game seem out of reach, you know, when you go, like, I think in the Dublin-Galway game at one point, Galway had quite a good, like, this good lead, and it's just gone in an instant. You know, when they scored that goal, and then Dublin just, you know, a couple of two-pointers and you're back. So it changes the dynamic of a game. And I think that creates its own drama too, because you think a team, you're conditioned to thinking a team is out of it if they're a certain amount of points behind, and then they're back in it. And then, you know, when that happens, it just does gives a shot of energy across the game. So that seems to be something that's happening. So I do think, I'll be watching. They're on RTE, right?
They will both be on RTE, yeah.
I'll watch one of them.
Yeah. Which one?
Dublin Kerry.
Dublin Kerry, okay. Just making sure. I mean, Mayo Loud, there's history on the line there. It could be a pretty emotional outcome for whoever wins that as well. Eve, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Our number 0879-180-180, all in the game, says Mbappe 6, Messi 6, Haaland 5, Kane 5, Dembele 4, Vinny Jr. 4, and not a penalty at all. He says, so the stars have come out to play and they're banging in the goals. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. We will be joined by Matt Williams after the break for Wednesday Night Rugby. And before that, it's time for the Cash Machine.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off the Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.